This is Mel.
Hi, Mr. Kirk.
Yes.
This is Derek Hopkins from Dead Pixel Live.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about you? The important part is how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hold on 1 second. Hey, we're going to start. I'm just making sure the room is clear of clutter.
No problem.
Yeah, no, things are good. Enjoying a Thursday afternoon. Happy to see Friday getting close.
Friday. You know, she's got a new song out. That's crazy. Okay, enough about Rebecca Black. You are from Zen Studios. Tell us a little bit about what you do over at Zen Studios, and then after that, what Zen Studios is all about.
Okay. Are we on right now? Are we live?
We're live. As soon as you picked up the phone, we were live, sir.
Got you. Okay, well, cool. okay, so Zen Studios, let's see, first about myself. So I was raised by wolves and Indians in a very small town in Northern California. I'm not joking about that. We have about 500 people where I'm from. And always had a love for video games. I was like the only kid in the town that had them, other than my buddy John, who's sitting here next to me. And knew that I always wanted to be involved with games in some way, and I've been lucky enough to work in the industry now for 7 years. Right after I got done with college, I just jumped in, and it's been a blast.
Wow.
So, that's my story. And then Zen Studios, company's been around for about 10 years now. The studio is based in Budapest, Hungary, of all places.
Well, I thought you said you were in you grew up in California. You live in Hungary now?
No. I still live in California. I'm like the North America office, operations, PR, marketing, first party liaison. Wear of many hats, community manager, Twitter, everything.
That was for a second there. I was quick question, because this, I guess this is going on a lot more, like with Crytek and all this stuff. A lot of people based overseas, but with a big American user base, I guess. Like, when you get that job, do you have to like go to Hungary to do the job interview or anything, or is it, like, have you ever met the guys, or is it all like over Skype or like some Cisco video call type thing, or how does that work?
No.
How do you know you're actually at work?
I go to Hungary probably once every 3 months at least. So I'm over there like 4 times a year. I've known the guy who started the studio. His name is Zsolt Kigosi. I've known him for probably 5 years now. And so we knew each other in person and everything. But the joke is that when you're in Budapest, you're kind of you're away from pop culture. You're away from what's cool and everything. So they knew that. You know, we needed to have somebody out here that could just kind of see what's going on and relay information. And so I think it's been a really good fit for both of us.
Hello? Oh, scary.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Did I lose you?
Yeah, for a second there. I was sitting messing with people in chat are saying they can't hear. But some people say they can't hear. Some people say they can't. So I'm like an idiot, I start pushing buttons. Never push a button in the middle of the interview, kids. That's a pro tip from Dead Pixel Live right there. Now, so basically, you're the cool kid. Then they're like, "Do we need somebody that knows what's going on? Let's get Mel Kirk."
I guess I am the cool kid, which is really funny because I really don't consider myself that cool, but. I'm helping them. It's funny because our game, you know, what we're known for is pinball, and pinball has kind of been a geeky thing, but I think we've turned the corner. I think people think we're cool all of a sudden.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's right. Well, pinball is, you're right. Pinball has always been like when you go to the arcade, well, when there were arcades, pinballs would be in the back in a corner, and like you will see the guys, like you see a few guys back there, but everybody else is up front. And now, that video game, like arcade games, have kind of like gone by the wayside. Pinball games you can still find pinball games places. They're still making new pinball machines, and you guys are keeping that alive on the consoles.
Definitely. And I would say, we have a deep love for pinball and original machines and all that. And what I meant to say, like, we're making it cooler. I think we're broadening the audience. We're introducing new players to the game. And especially with like our Marvel pinball franchise, they're experiencing what what I think gamers today, guys who play Call of Duty and they just want to blow people up, all of a sudden they see, you know, interactive characters, and it looks more like a video game than they would have expected, just pinball.
Yeah, a lot of people were, I've actually noticed that over the past years, like, I've always known this, but the pinball machines have, like, storylines to them, and the gameplay, there's a story behind the gameplay. A lot of people think, oh, you just click and you just hit the bumpers and noise happens and you get points. But there's like the skill is in getting through the story. And the Marvel pinball machines, so far, all of that I've played have been very strong in the story part. Like the Captain America one, you're fighting the Red Skull and you're fighting Baron Zemo and you're getting the Howling Commandos. And Blade, you have to stop the guy from becoming the Lord of the Night and everything. Like, is that something you guys have try to emphasize in the tables, like the storyline, the plot of the table?
Absolutely. And an important thing to know is that each of these tables are designed from the ground up, so we're not copying or taking elements from one and doing it the other. We go through a very long process where we understand the key elements of each character, and we build a theme around that. It's hard to tell a story through a pinball table, but if we get the right characters and the right mix and put it all together, it creates a really strong theme. I think Captain America, you know, it's our newest table, but it's a great example. And that one is based on the 65th anniversary comic. And we just take those World War II elements and the characters, and we just kind of piece it all together to create a story and have different goals, modes, and objectives to complete the table.
And you brought up original pinballs before. Are you guys, not originals, but like actual, like, classic pinball machines. Are you guys going to be doing, going back and maybe creating some classic pinball or recreating some of the classic pinballs? Or are you only looking at original titles from here on out?
The answer to all of that is yes. So we've got, we are talking to some of the classic license holders. I really wish I could tell you specific names.
Williams is one, yeah. I'm guessing. It has to be Williams because they're big.
Yeah, all the big ones. Maybe some of the obvious ones, right?
Gottlieb, I'm going to say. Bally. Not Stern, because Stern's still around. Sega, maybe, because Sega had a pinball stuff for a little while.
Mm-hmm. So the idea for us and our goal and objective is to have a well-rounded portfolio, and for us, that looks something like some of these classic brands, some more modern-day mass-market style stuff, kind of like what you see with Marvel, and then our own original designs, which we've got some really good ones. And just kind of keeping the content mix, really balanced and kind of making something for everybody.
Now, which ones do you guys enjoy doing more? Do you enjoy, like, the licensed stuff, or do you like doing, like, your own, creating your own original ones more, or looking at an older machine and seeing how you can bring that to life?
Well, I'll just say we like all of it. We had a blast with Marvel. I mean, that was kind of a dream come true for a lot of our studio guys. We have so many Marvel fans that just working with Spider-Man and Iron Man and these characters was just, like, so much fun. We love doing that. The old stuff is classic, and it's kind of like, hey, if we're going to really be a signature pinball company, we're going to need to figure out how to get some of these other brands. So it's just kind of a must. And then just being creative on our own and coming up with our own ideas and all of our experience culminating to one table after another and just improving every time. And just recently, we're putting the finishing touches on our Miss Explosion Man table, which is based on Twisted Pixels' Miss Explosion Man game. That one, we had, like, a blast. We did so much stuff with the whole sploding, and, we'll be revealing, like, the full table soon, but...
I saw a picture you guys put out, and I saw a Destructoid little Easter egg in there.
Yeah, Mr. Destructoid is in the table. So it was really funny. I don't know if you want the story really quick.
Yeah, sure. Please.
We were at GDC... this last year, and we were all hanging out at Twisted Pixel, Destructoid, Zen Studios, and we were just kind of talking about the project and what we were doing, and we all just kind of looked at each other, and we just said, we have to put Mr. Destructoid in there. And so that's basically that night. We all just kind of shook hands over it, and that was it. The next day, they sent us their assets, and a week later, he was on the board. So it's kind of cool to just you know, being a small company and kind of that whole indie mindset, we can just do things like that and make decisions quickly just based on something we want to do, and then we do it.
See people, E3 is not where it's at. You want to be at GDC. GDC is where things get done.
Now, yeah, GDC is where the brain power is at, man.
Now, just get DPL. I would like to go to GDC and meet you and get a DPL on a board or something. That'd be kind of cool. Speak.
Yeah, we're totally open to it, you know.
Y'all, come on. You're just, please don't say things just to make me happy. You're like, oh, yeah, sure. Sure, and I see you guys. I walk up to, hey, remember me? Like, yeah, please. Security.
Man,
security.
The way we operate, I mean, to me, like, I sit down and I'll talk to anybody. We're very zen. We've really embraced our company culture, and that's one of the things I love to do. Actually, when I go to shows, actually, I enjoy more just sitting down and getting to know people and having breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and we'll go out with anybody and have fun.
Sweet. And we have a bunch of people in the chat room, also people on the internet sending in questions. And one of the questions was from Pinata242 was, how did the relationship with Twisted Pixel for the Misfusion Man table begin? You just answered that. Thank you very much. And he also wants to know if you're looking to partner up with other developers in the future and if there are any names you want to drop.
We're talking with quite a few developers and other brands. So I'd love to drop the names, but just due to contracts and some of the way things work, and I can't do that. But just know that there's a lot of stuff on the way. And if Misfusion Man's any indication of kind of like directions we go, and same with Marvel, I mean, you could just expect the unexpected, I guess.
So was it easy working with Twisted Pixel, like with another? You guys aren't really indie. I guess do you see yourselves as indie developers, or because you're kind of big?
Well, we've kind of grown up a little bit in the last year. We're kind of like a mid tier indie. You know, we control our own destiny. Everything we do is digital. We don't have to answer to a publisher. We don't have to put stuff in a box and be on deadline. And if the game's not done, ship it anyway. So that whole spirit is very independent. I think that's how we consider ourselves indie. We're not like the small little two-man team anymore cranking stuff out of your garage, but we like to maintain that indie attitude.
You guys can go up to like Activision and say, hey, we want to make a Call of Duty table, and they'll take your call. Or
it will now, yeah. Big companies are taking our calls, and, you know, cool thing for us, they're coming to us.
Nice. So which table? We're looking at a Forza table? We're looking at a Battlefield 3 table?
Well, it depends. I mean, we've talked to other first-person shooter brands, and it, you know, we like all of our content right now is E for everyone, and to do certain brands justice and do them right, you got to have blood and guts. So
yeah.
We've thought about, hey, do we just establish a different label and go out and do more hardcore gamer stuff with, you know, zombies and guts and blood? I mean, that'd be awesome.
Well, you guys did a Punisher game, though.
Well, we did Punisher, but that wasn't part of our pinball series.
Oh, okay.
So that was like, you know, that was a different game.
Cool deal. Yeah. That goes into another question, which you mentioned that you guys are all digital. As we all know, PSN had a little problem with digital where for like a month and a half, there was no digital stuff happening on the PSN. Did that make you start to think maybe you want to go to retail now, or especially now that you have like the big Marvel license? Like, have you ever thought of maybe putting out a retail version of the game?
I don't know. It's crossed our mind, but it's so nice not having to worry about retail. Because one, you know, you get booted off the shelf if the game doesn't sell or after a certain amount of time. You open yourself up to having to manufacture a bunch of product, and that's a risk. You know, if it doesn't sell, then you've got all this inventory, and you've got middlemen and distributors and all that stuff. I just don't think that we could... that we want to put ourselves in that position. The digital market, it's so beautiful, and we control everything, and once it's there forever for the most part.
Yeah, but nobody's gonna cross Eastern Europeans. Nobody's going to try to rob you guys because you guys show up with AKs and stuff.
that's
my picture of everything. I used to know guys from East. They always look like they were about to shoot me. The nicest guys in the world. I was like, dude, they're going to shoot me one day.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting culture over there in Hungary. First, you know, the language is totally unrelated to anything. It has no roots in Latin, I believe, and it sounds Russian, but there's really nothing like it. And the people there, are, for the most part, are pretty sheltered from Western culture, and they kind of live in bubbles. And it's just been kind of, every time there was a war, people marched through Hungary and then just kind of assumed control of the country. But I think they're really coming out of that, and they're going to come into their own here. So there's a lot of cool development going on over there, and so I think that hopefully that perception of, like, you know, Iron Curtain kind of thing might be changing.
Now, how does that, like you said, they were sheltered for the most part, like sheltered from like Western culture. Like, what do they think when you show up and say, hey, I got this cool Rocky and Bullwinkle license that we're going to work on? They're like it's a talking squirrel. What is all this about? Like, oh, trust me, it'll work. Like, are they ever? Did they look at the games and say, what? Or do they trust you that this is going to be a big thing? And like when you come up with like Mid Explosion Man license or something like that.
Definitely, and you know, I can't take credit for Rocky and Bullwinkle. That was there before I arrived on the scene. But yeah, I mean, that's part of what my job is to help steer the company into brands and into creating experiences that we think people want. So I was a part of the Marvel thing. That it wasn't entirely my doing, but you know, Miss Explosion Man, I was definitely pushing that one. I said, you know, this will really propel us into a segment of Xbox that we haven't really tapped into yet, and hardcore platformers, and these guys, you know, get them playing pinball and give them a brand that will interest them. That was my thinking behind it. And in Marvel's obviously very mass market. That's kind of a no-brainer. There's other ones that we're working on right now that I think I've pushed for pretty hard that I think we're going to get.
That brings us to Decker's question. He says, I'd like to ask if you're working on acquiring any other license agreements. You already said you guys are. But specifically, if your successful collaboration with Marvel might open the door to a licensing agreement with Marvel's parent company, Disney, because A Nightmare Before Christmas or Who Framed Roger Rabbit table would be awesome. And he put awesome in bold.
You know, A Nightmare Before Christmas table would be seriously awesome. That's a great idea. And I love Roger Rabbit too, but Nightmare Before Christmas really just raised my eyebrows. And obviously, from dealing with Marvel, we know people at Disney, and you can imagine what kind of talks we've had with Disney. So that is one I'm actually going to write down right now and bring up in the conversation.
Well, that takes us to Pinata 242's other question. He says, any Disney table will be stellar. He'd love a princess-themed one for his daughters. Well, you know, come on. Everybody loves the Disney princesses. Or even a Disneyland one would be fantastic. But he fears that Disney would be too proud to let Zen take that kind of ownership to put them in a combined library. Like, does Marvel look at, like, say, look, we'll let you do this, but we're going to oversee everything you do, or do they give you a lot of leeway?
It's kind of a combination of what you just said. They are very involved, and their input, though, is always so valuable. Chris Baker, he's over there in the games group, and TQ Jefferson, like, these guys know the Marvel Universe like no other, and they also understand games like no other. So having their input really just keeps us to a high standard all the time, and keeping us honest to the characters, keeping us honest to making something in the pinball game that could really happen within that universe. So it's always very good feedback. It's always very good working with these guys. It's just very valuable.
What's something that you guys wanted to do in Marvel was like, no, that's not, you can't do that. You can't use a black costume because the new movie's coming out for Spider-Man or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few of those things, and honestly, those are very minor. I wouldn't be able to tell you specifically like some of those, but they're always adding things. They're not really ever telling us don't do that or taking away from it. Like they're definitely always adding a suggestion that we didn't think about.
That's a good place to be. Instead of saying no, they're like more is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Like they push, you know, they say, what about this adamantium chamber for Wolverine? Like, we wanted to do that, but we didn't quite completely understand how to put that into the table, and they just helped us, like, figure out the layout and how to make it work within the mission structure and just work overall. So they made the adamantium chamber a much bigger part of that table than it would have originally been.
When I was playing the Wolverine, I was like as a comic book nerd, I was like, well, X-23 is going to show up any second. That's going to be bad. But X-23 never showed up.
Well, she was on the canvas, you know. Just an artwork, yeah.
How does that now that you've gone in, a lot of this, I'm sorry, it's going to be Marvel stuff, because like those are like the big tables. Are those like your biggest tables, or how are they in the Pinball Effect Zen Pinball world? And Marvel Pinball too. How are those tables seen? Are they seen like extras, or are they like the main push now?
Well, it really just depends. I mean, for us, like we're still releasing our own original tables, and then we have Marvel, and kind of like whatever our newest releases is really what we get behind. But I mean, they all actually perform pretty similarly, I guess. Okay. I think Marvel might get a little more press coverage just because of the characters.
Yeah. For example, I don't know if this was official, but I believe Ghost Rider was announced.
That's right. At Comic-Con, we announced Ghost Rider as part of a brand new 4-pack releasing this winter called Marvel Pinball Vengeance and Virtue. Nice. And if you can get screenshots right now of Johnny Blaze on the table and Set in the Pits of Hell and Lucifer's there, and we'll be talking about the rest of those tables probably in the next couple months.
What if I guess the other ones right now? Will you say yes or no if I'm right?
Oh, geez.
I'm saying there's a Punisher table. I'm saying there's an Avengers table. I'm saying there is... Ooh, what's another one? Well, which one am I leaving out, Mel? Which one am I missing?
So one of those could fit into Vengeance, and one would fit into Virtue.
Yeah, see? And, of course, the Hulk table. Please have a Hulk table. That will be good. Oh, see, so Thor table.
So
there you go.
Ghost Rider fits into Vengeance as well, right?
Yes.
So it's going to be balanced. There'll be two of each.
Okay, so Ghost Rider and Punisher, those are Vengeance. Virtue would be Avengers and not Hulk. I don't know what another Virtue. When I think Marvel Comics, I don't think Virtue. I don't like X-Men. None of those guys would be Virtue. All those guys are mean. Help me out here, Mel.
Oh man, I'm just
racking my brain here. I'm actually a big Marvel fan, but I'm trying to think Virtuous, and I'm like the Wasp, maybe not Wasp and Ant Man. That'll be Avengers.
Well, I'm putting my PR hat here and saying how do I answer this without answering it?
Like all will be revealed. We're going to be releasing more information about that in the coming months. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So, Move or Kinect support? Are you guys thinking about adding Move and or Kinect support to either one? And if so, how?
Yeah, not at the moment, but I think further down the line we might be able to. We did a lot of work with the Move. We have another game called Planet Mini Golf, which is on PlayStation Network, and the Move controller works great for that. But we haven't really experimented yet on the pinball side.
But I could stand in front of a pretend pinball machine and move my hands like I'm flipping or something, because that would be the same thing that you guys had with original Pinball Effects with the camera where you could play.
Yeah,
with
the vision camera.
Yeah,
you know, the mechanic wasn't fully developed. I just think that it maybe on our side could have done a little better job, but the tech was definitely limiting. Kinect is a whole nother level. I mean, you could really do it right with Kinect.
Burr says, Burr from the All Games, Depix Alive forum, says, have you guys considered making a pinball game that revolved around user-generated content, like a Little Big Planet of pinball, or for those who remember, and I do, Pinball Construction Set back in the 80s for the Apple II and the Commodore 64, Bill Budge's Pinball Construction Set.
Yeah, remember that very well, and yes, we have experimented with how to do more user-generated content and basically allow you to paint the table as you play it.
What do you mean paint the table as you play it? Explain that to
me. So basically it would be a naked table.
Okay.
And then there would be a few options. Like you could design it before you play it, or as you're playing, have random effects going on with the ball that basically paint the table for you.
Wow. So you'd be playing, all of a sudden a ramp would appear, stuff like that?
Well, no, like the general layout would be there, but then you'd almost have like a color palette.
Oh, okay.
That you could select from, and then as you're playing, you'd switch colors, and it kind of maybe end up looking like a tie-dye thing. But I mean, these are things that we're experimenting with and we're trying to figure out how to make it viable for, you know, people that want to buy it and play it.
Now, what about this kind? This is going to circle back to basically the same question. Have you guys looked into a PC version of Pinball? Is the main title Pinball Effects or Zen Pinball? Like, which one are you guys?
So Zen Pinball is. I'll answer this way. Pinball Effects is exclusive to Microsoft. That's okay. The brand on Xbox Live, and Zen Pinball is going to be everywhere else. So it's on PlayStation, and we announced for Vita and Android and iOS, Wii U, 3DS.
Wow!
So it's going to all those.
And what about PC? That's the one I was
PC.
Thinking. Now for the PC one, that seems like that would be a slam dunk for everybody's mod. Every game comes out, it has tools to mod. Like, would that be the version that people be able to create their own tables and do the paint as you play and also, like, the pre-build?
Yeah, I think that would be right. I need to go back and review all these design docs that we have and to see what the current plan is for all that, but I think so.
Here's the thing. I was playing, when I first bought Captain America, now I was like, this is great, but I need to go do stuff on my computer now. Then I was like, well, how come I can't play games on my computer, pinball on my computer? And then I went looking for pinball games on my computer, and there's, good Lord, there's just crap out there. But then there was one called, I don't know if I'm supposed to say a competitor, I don't even know if it's a competitor, but Future Pinball, where you can actually build your own table. And I sat there, I was about to try to build my table, I was like, well, this is way too complicated, let me go back and play Captain America again. Like, would that sort of thing, because I was like, I'm going to make a Dead Pixel Live table. Like, is that sort of thing where you guys would have to build a whole thing where people could share tables and cross-compatible for Xbox and also, like, I don't know, I'm getting all excited now thinking about it. Now that you said it's possible, that it's a possibility.
So it is sort of possible. There's be a lot of development that would have to go into that to allow you to, you know, reconstruct a pinball table, create your own design, then share it, versus if we gave you just like a set design or a few to choose from and then you like basically make the artwork for it.
I need to make ramps and everything there. I'm sorry. Need to put loops in. I need to put a little drop targets. I got to do everything. I got to have everything. I need everything. And I need it by Christmas too, if that's possible. I need it by Christmas 2011.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
I was like, no. He's like, no. Okay, another question is, does the console's power affect the physics? Like, you have the 360, which is powerful, but then you have the PS3, which is more powerful. Is the physics on the PS3 going to be affected by that extra? Like, are the physics going to be better on the PS3, or are they going to be same? Are they the same on everything, even down to the DS?
Well, with every release that we've done over the past few years, the physics have kind of leapfrogged with every iteration. And yeah, some of it is done in hardware, and other parts of it is done in software. And our engine has been like a 7-year work in progress for these pinball tables. And I think we do evolve with each iteration of technology.
So right now, which would be the pinnacle, would you guys think, say, of the... Like, if somebody wants to play the best version of Zen Pinball or Pinball Effects, are they looking at the 360? Are they looking at the PS3? Or could it be, like, because of the code, could it be the 3DS version that's about to come out is actually going to be the most up-to-date one?
Well, right now, the 360, I would say, has the most advanced physics. And I don't think that the 3DS will outdo that just in terms of hardware and processing power.
Okay.
Now, it's still going to be really good.
Yeah, please. No.
I just think that the Xbox is right now the pinnacle.
I'm looking, to tell you the truth, I'm waiting for when the Android one hits. I believe I'm going to have that on my Droid. I'm actually probably upgrade to a Droid Incredible just so I can play pinball at work and pretend I'm doing actual work.
Nice.
Now, you guys are also, another question, you're heading more toward video game only type effects. It seems like you're going back and forth. Some games are all like based in real world. Like, this could be at an actual, you could take this game out into the real world and it will be exactly the same. But then you have other things like Mars, which have a lot of video game only type effects like no gravity, Ninja Gaiden, the guy cuts the ball in half. Other games, the characters jump around the field like in Spider-Man. How do the fans respond to that, or do they like one more than the other? And which way are you guys going more toward?
Well, we're going for a balanced approach. I think today's gamer expects a certain amount of interaction and effects and different things happening. Your traditional pinball player wants the game of pinball, so we walk a really fine line in making sure that we have an equal amount of both, and we don't overdo it one way or the other. And I think you'll continue to see us like fine-tuning that balance and, you know, messing around with different things and seeing how it affects the game and what the feedback is.
And not to sound like an old man get off my lawn type thing, I like it when I'm like playing a real, but like I didn't like what the TurboGrafx-16 had, like Devil's Crush, where like the dragon would come and eat the ball and stuff. I was never a fan of that. But the way you guys do it is, it doesn't really, well, for the most part, it doesn't interfere with the gameplay. It's just like extra characters jumping around the screen, except on Mars, where that anti-gravity ball. Whose idea was that ball floating around? Was that yours, Mel?
Dude, that was not my idea, I promise.
I was like, what's going on? Why is the ball floating? Oh, it stopped right over the hole. Oh, that's just great. Goodbye,
well, come on,
ball.
Man, we're in space, right? We're out on Mars. We might as well embrace it and say, okay, if you're on Mars, there would be no gravity.
But there'd be pinballs and ramps and stuff.
But believe me, there are pinball tables on Mars. We've seen them.
Prove them wrong. Okay, now I've asked you about classic tables, the resurgent interest in pinball, Move Connect, PC version. Wow, you've actually, I expected you to stonewall on more and more questions, Mel, but you are very forthcoming. I'd like to thank you for that, first of all.
Absolutely, man.
Upcoming licenses, what you can, you have. Marvel, you have, yes. What about DC and Image? That was also asked. People say you have Marvel. DC's doing a big relaunch. It would be nice to have a super. They're doing movies too. Batman. Are you guys, is it a exclusive contract, or could you get Marvel, I mean DC or Dark Horse or Image type Spawn tables in there too?
It's not likely that you're going to see anything from DC or any other comic brand, simply because of the way that it's structured with Marvel.
Oh, man. Business lawyers. I blame lawyers.
That's all the lawyer stuff, yeah. That's. But you know what? They do it for a certain reason. And look, we're happy to have Marvel. It'd be totally awesome to do Batman. I mean, there's no and Superman and all these guys. That'd be cool.
Yeah, but it's not like Marvel doesn't have a deep roster for you guys to choose from.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it is so deep. There's characters we haven't even touched yet that we are just waiting to, you know, for the time to do it.
This is going to be on last, because I've been heavy on the Marvel thing. Like, is the Marvel thing, like, open-ended, where it could be any character, or is it just, like, you guys know that you're going to be able to pick from, like, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, and the Avengers set, but, like, the Inhumans or something, that's not going to, a ROM Space Knight, you're not going to make those type of things.
Well, I mean, look, we want to make money on this, too, so we know, like, we got to use big characters, big names, hopefully sync up with stuff that Marvel's doing with movies and other releases. So, you know, we got to play a little bit to the business side of things, but yeah. I think everybody was surprised to see Blade in the original 4-pack.
One of the best tables.
We're going to surprise people with Vengeance and Virtue. There's going to be a table that people are like, huh, I wouldn't have thought you guys would do that.
Which one is that going to be? Shield. Nick Fury, Agent of Shield one. That would be a good table. Yeah, yeah. Get the ball into the helicarrier for multi-ball.
Yep.
Okay. Back to the other tables you guys do. The original tables, like you have Earth Defense Force, which has been beating the crap out of me for the last week. Sorcery, like what? Excalibur, Sorcerer's Lair. Like which original tables are going to be coming up for people that people can look forward to?
Well, let's see. Sorcerer's Lair and Paranormal are both going to come out for Xbox. So to date, those have been exclusive for PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got one more totally original design that's totally unannounced that will come out before the end of the year as well.
Now, are these going to come out all at one big bump like the Marvel tables, or is it going to be a one-a-month type thing?
Yeah, it'll be a one-a-month. You know, we're turning into the regular pinball table-a-month club around here, so it seems to work pretty well for us.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to go. Every few weeks, I'm like, oh, it's time to give Zen Studios another $5. And plus, the prices, how do you guys keep the price low? Have you ever been tempted to say, you know what, this Captain America, this is going to be a big release. This is going to be 1,200 points.
We're tempted to raise the prices, yes, but not that high for a single table. Look, is it worth more than $3? Like, me as a person, I go buy coffee at, you know, Pete's or my local place, Starbucks. I spend more money on that than I do on one of our pinball tables. So we know what kind of value we're providing, but I just think having a good value and a good product for people, I think that we'll do just fine, and we have so far.
Joe Digitech in chat wants to know, is there a mode where this is actually, believe it or not, I had this idea when I first got it too. So is there a mode where I can turn my TV on its side and play pinball long ways?
I don't think so, but you know what? When I play with the tablet and I have the game running on THD, I'll turn it in it to make it that way on the TV, and it works that way.
Wait, but can you turn your entire TV sideways?
No, it's from the
tablet.
I guess the answer is no, but the I do that with a tablet. So I got this bad echo on my phone all of a sudden. I'm like, feel like I'm talking to myself twice.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you need me, I can try calling you back. That may work.
Is it echoing on your end?
No, you sound beautiful over here. So
okay.
I'm hoping it's just a connection. So let me call you right back, and it will be an immediate hang up, and then the phone will ring once again.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Thanks. Let's see. Boom. Call phone. Ring.
All right. Are we back?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, that's better.
Oh. Perfect. Skype, they for what for free, you can't complain. But I actually do pay for my Skype, so I can't complain. I will put in a complaint for you.
Thanks.
Now, where were we at for original tables? Sorcerer's Lair, Paranormal Activity, and one that you can or can't give us a name of or a theme for.
Yeah, one that I cannot give you a theme for yet.
Oh, but it will be out by the end of the year.
Yes.
So is that?
I think it might actually come out in September.
Wow! So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice. So other than that, what else is Zen Pinball looking at? The 3DS is coming. The 3DS version, the Wii U version. Which one of those are you guys most excited about?
I'm excited for all of them. I'm really excited to get to mobile, just because of how crazy things are blowing up right now on mobile. I just think a lot of people will get to our game finally that haven't experienced it. I'm in love with the Wii U. The thing is very powerful. I know there's a lot of skepticism, and maybe people don't fully get what it is, but it's a wonderful, awesome gaming device.
Explain that to me. Is it? I was actually at E3, and I saw that, and I was like, oh, it's a tablet it's a tablet that outputs to your TV, and they're like, no, it's not just that. It's more. But I was like,
yeah, it's definitely more, and I can. We're under NDA for certain things, but I can tell you from a developer standpoint that we're very happy with it. We really see the potential, and we're very excited to be working with it.
And also, since Zen Studios is download only, we know that the Wii is going to have an extensive downloadable game type store now.
There you go. And I think that they're actually really starting, Nintendo as in general, is starting to embrace that digital model. With you know the announcement today with 3DS getting their price drop and 20 free games via digital download,
ooh.
You know they're really starting to push that. And I've actually seen like banner ads on gaming sites that click right through to the 3DS virtual store. So they're coming around.
Now are you excited about the? Of course you're excited about the 3DS. But like what does 3D add to pinball? Like is it like a big change when you're playing a 3D table?
There is. It's really cool. The ball like just moves differently. Like your perception of the way you hit it and then where it's going, it tracks differently. It's really a cool effect, and I think we've done a really good job with it. So hopefully, I can get you a build of the game here pretty soon, and you'll be able to see for yourself. It's so hard to describe 3D, and it's even harder to show people just without, you know, them having a 3D unit. So that's one of the challenges I'm having is, how do we show people how cool this game is on 3DS without being able to do like a 3D trailer or something?
Now, what about the PS3 can do 3D?
Yes, PS3 can do stereoscopic 3D. You'll probably see, a 3D update.
Now, would that update be something we had to pay for, or would it be just a...
No. You'll just install it, and if you've got a 3D TV and glasses, you'll be able to enjoy it.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. You guys...
That's kind of the Zen model. You know, that's what we did with Pinball FX. When we upgraded to Pinball FX 2, we gave everybody who bought it new achievements, the new social system, and updated all the graphics and all that. So we like to take care of people who buy our games.
Now, about the upgrade, like how often are you guys doing, because there's some people complain about a couple tables have like glitches or bugs. Like what's the update path for those? Is it like every 6 months you guys release a patch, or do you say, okay, this one's a big one, we're going to fix this right now? Like how does that happen?
If it's huge and glaring, we try to take care of it right away. If it's minor, we try to take care of a bunch of them all at once.
Because Liver and Onions asked, which is a very this is a goofy question, Liver and Onions, because it's very generic. He says, ask them about addressing the score boosting exploit that is prevalent on their leaderboards.
I assume he's talking about Wizard Score, because we've got some people who have kind of created multiple accounts and then take their super score and basically multiply it, so then their Wizard Score is just like totally outrageous.
It's evil. That is evil.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people think people cheat on the super score, but you really can't. I mean, we have guys who seriously get billions and billions of points. Their games last like 20 hours. They're super good players. They're flawless, and they get those kind of scores.
Now, when somebody posts a score, because I've seen a couple. I was actually in, I think, the Mars tournament. I was so happy. I was like, oh, I'm slowly moving up. And then I saw the number one guy, and I was like, well, that's never going to happen. That's just crazy. Do you guys go back and are you able to, like, to look at the game as he's playing, or like how can you be sure that somebody isn't cheating?
Well, I mean, that's all taken care of in testing and certification, and I mean, you go through a huge process and you spend a bunch of money doing that, and before you can get up, published, you've got to meet certain requirements, and they, Microsoft and Sony will test it to a certain extent to make sure that stuff's not happening. But I mean, we just know from our own internal testing and the way that we run the algorithms and whatnot, we just know that they're pretty accurate. We knew that there was an issue with Rocky and Bullwinkle, and we actually went back and reset the whole thing and fixed it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it, because a lot of people were complaining, like, because all of a sudden, oh, no, where's my 100 million score? I was like, look, just go back and... you're not gonna that was a goofy scoring way, because the multiplier thing, like, that was kind of well known. So when that went away, I was kind of happy. Well, they are paying attention. That showed me that you guys were looking and were knew what was going on when that change happened.
Yeah, and we have a really passionate community. They're very good at alerting us every time they find a mistake, and we have a suggestions for Zen Studios and bug reporting system on our forums. So we pay a lot of attention to that.
What's the one thing that like annoys you most when you have a popular game and like people like look at the minutiae of it, like some people will complain about stuff like the color's a little off on one of the tables. Like when are you guys going to fix that?
Yeah, we take it in stride. I mean, honestly, we try and respond to every, you know, and that's kind of the thing, right? You're so passionate about your work and you're so into what you're doing. Like when someone disses you, you're kind of, you take it to heart, you take it personal, and you try to respond and make them see it your way. But over time, you just learn you can't make everybody happy, and there's going to be people who complain. But, you know, you just take feedback, you take it with a grain of salt, you try to constantly improve, and just try not to let it get you down. So you read the positive stuff, and you embrace that. You read the negative, and you try just to kind of let it slip away and maybe take a good piece of advice. But it's tough to do at times.
It's worse when nobody cares. When that's when you know something's wrong. When you're not getting any complaints about it, dude, nobody cares.
Oh yeah, I'd rather get complaints than nothing. If it was dead silence, oh man, that would be worse.
Now, on the tables, you guys have weekly or very frequent tournaments that started. I guess when Pinball FX 2 started, the tournament started. How are those going? How's the turnout for those, and how are people liking the tournaments you have? Because when I see them, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get in there, and I know I love them. But what about other people? How's it going over?
Yeah, it seems like the tournaments go really well. We get a lot of people that participate. We started offering prize packs, like for the Spider-Man tournament that's ending today on PSN and starting tomorrow on Xbox. We've got awesome Spider-Man T-shirts from We Love Fine. We've got Marvel Digital Comics subscriptions from Marvel. We've got XBLA or PSN point cards that we'll give out to the top winners, which basically finances like all your games that you've ever bought from us or for the rest of the year. And then we also give out prizes to random entries because we know that there's basically the same guys that are in the top 10 every time, and they just rotate through who wins based on how good they were feeling that day or whatever. But we give prizes out for random entries. And we're hoping to improve our tournament structure in the fall and introduce different types of tournaments, not just high score, but more like maybe your best ball or complete certain objectives within X amount of time. And we're actually working with the International Flipper Association to maybe adopt some of their rules for tournaments. Wow. and go that route. But just, you know, tournament's a big part of pinball, and we've only barely touched the surface. I mean, we're going to do a lot of really fun things, and I think always have the prize packs and maybe just keep getting bigger and bigger with each one.
Black Widow for Virtue. Possibly, maybe that one.
You're not going to let that one go.
I'm pretty
and
sure.
And then you're going to gauge by my pause or my response whether you got it or not.
Yes.
Because just psychologically speaking, I will slip up, I'm sure.
I'm now. I went back to it and I was like, hey, maybe somebody in a movie is not going to be Wasp, but maybe Black Widow. Because then they have. What about the voice acting? A friend of mine, John, who actually has a bunch of pinballs in his basement, he was like, when you talk to Zed, ask him about the sound effects. I was like, what's wrong with the sound effects? He's like, they're off. Something's wrong with them. Like, have you guys had complaints? To me, they sound good, except for the voice acting. Some games are a little iffy, but the actual sound effects almost sound like they're sampled from real pinball machines. Like, how do you guys work the sound into your games?
Well, all of our sound is original design, and we've got, you know, we've got a sound studio and a recording studio, and we do it all there. And I think our sound effects are pretty good. I agree with you on the voice acting that some haven't been so hot, but I think everything going forward, starting with Fantastic Four, has been better. We've got a new studio that's doing our voice acting, and some of these guys actually do work on the Marvel, other Marvel properties and their actual talent, but we only pay them enough to get their voice and not be able to say their names just because...
Oh, really? You can't give a...
Well, you think about it, man, we're selling a $3 table... And they're expensive to make, and you got your license fees, and you got your voice act. I mean, by the time it all adds up, it's like, are we making any money on this? We don't know. We just like to make it. So,
Ms. Marvel.
Gotta cut costs somewhere.
Ms. Marvel table with a Kree scroll worn in the background. Oh, that's a possible.
Sorry, I think I didn't catch the whole thing. What you said
Ms. Marvel, and the background of the table is the Kree scroll war.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. You know, we've actually teased tables based on events in the universe, like Infinity Gauntlet or Civil War.
That'd be a Secret Wars table would be incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. So is that one of the Virtue? Like, Civil War table?
No. Those wouldn't have anything to do with that pack. And I think it's just something that we all want to do, and we all see the potential, especially to help keep the Marvel franchise and the whole series fresh. Not just having tables based on characters, you know, where you go through and you just fight who you'd expect to see there, but maybe stuff based on big events in the universe where you've got all sorts of stuff going on.
Now, what about other? We've already talked about game licenses and Marvel, of course. What about? We're also wrapping this up because we promise you 34-5 minutes. We're running over that. What about other outside of those two licenses, like car licenses or movie licenses or that sort of thing, or TV show license, like any, like
movies,
other outside
TVs, things. Other games, music, what else, cars. We've got a list of potential ideas. We've got licenses and brands we're talking to, and you know, we're gonna definitely do some all those things.
Silver Surfer, that is the one. I've figured it out. Thank you very much. Anything that I've missed that you guys want to get out? I'm going to let you go because we're going on an hour now. I don't want you to get mad at me and say, dude, you said 45 minutes. It's been an hour. Anything that you want to let everybody know about that I forgot to ask about or
no, I'll just say, you know, thanks everyone for supporting us, for buying our game. We're very appreciative. If you want to talk to us some more, our forums, we're very active. Just go to zenstudios.com or any of our game sites and you can hit the forum and chat it up with us. And we also answer questions all the time on like our Facebook and our Twitter. So feel free to talk and always love to hear new ideas for tables. Send us your favorite brands and what you'd like to see. And there's a good chance that we'll at least have the discussion with those guys and figure it out.
I actually think you've seen you in the Zen Studios chat too.
Yeah, I am Cracker Vizzo. I'm very active there. That's my gamer tag. That's my Twitter. We have a Zen Studios Twitter. And then anytime you see someone talking and posting back is probably me.
You are the face of Zen Studios.
It's getting that way, yes. I think I am. Our creative director, Neil Sorens, he's also in the forums, and his name is username Solitude, and he posts quite a bit as well.
What's your favorite table?
My favorite table is Excalibur and Blade. They're kind of tied in my mind.
Blade, I'm with you. Excalibur is hard.
Yeah, I think for me it's the theme. I like the whole... like dungeons and medieval kind of thing and sort knights of the round table. Like I like that theme.
We just finished talking to Mel Kirk from Zen Studios. Ms. Bulger Man coming out, I'm guessing, what, 2 weeks maybe?
Probably right around PAX.
Around PAX. And then Ghost Rider with the whole Virtue and Vengeance with some other unnamed tables. I'm guessing Silver Surfer. Original tables also coming out. The 360 versions of the PSN tables and then unnamed table to be coming all before the end of the year. So that's 8 tables before the end of the year is what we're looking at.
Yeah, we're very busy. We got a lot of stuff coming.
And the good thing, that's still going to cost you like less than $20. Well, $25. Yeah. Bucks. That's incredible. Thank you very much for talking to us today, Mr. Kirk.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. Hey, have a nice night.
All right, you too. Hey, bye. See ya.